Techscape on Taking Stock with the all-new Renault 4. Stylish and versatile. A high-tech take on the classic. Rethink Renault.
Well, job interviews are often a necessary part of getting a job, and it can be daunting to face an interview panel of three people you've never met before who can determine whether you get the job of your dreams and or an income that determines your living standards for the foreseeable. However, maybe the rules of engagement have changed completely with the AI interview. Helen Coffey, Senior Features Editor of The Independent, joins me here at Taking Stock. First of all, Helen, can you begin by telling our listeners who Carl is and the role he played in your life recently?
Yes, indeed. I mean, Carl, I have to say, I named him myself. I named Carl. He was my job interviewer, and I sort of want to put job in inverted commas because it wasn't a real job I was going for, and thank goodness. But Carl was my AI job interviewer. So he looked like a man, he talked like a man, but he was most definitely not a man. He was an AI interface designed to look like a human being.
Well, Helen, can I actually tell our listeners exactly the way you described Carl? You said he was nothing more than a soulless, if sophisticated, checklist of keywords and phrases fronted by an avatar in the guise of a handsome, ethnically ambiguous youngster.
Yes, indeed. I mean, should I have said he was handsome? I thought he was handsome. I think they're always designed to look quite nice, aren't they? I haven't seen an ugly AI yet.
Well, you seem to have quite the portfolio of experience the way you're talking.
No. I'm just going on the ones I've seen sort of, you know, on adverts and the telly.
And what was it like then in terms of the way in which you might have built rapport with who is now christened Carl? How did you interact with him? Did he respond to you?
It was really strange. It was, you know, they call that experience often with AI and other tech in that area, this experience of uncanny valley, which is like it seems really close to being human, but there's something about it that isn't human. And that's very unsettling for us. And I think it's particularly heightened in a job interview where you're already nervous and you're relying on the fact that you're trying to build a bit of human connection. Yes, you're showing off your competencies, your experience, but what you really want to do underneath that is convince this other person, you like me, I'm the person for this job, you're going to work well with me. And kind of going into it knowing that you can't do that is already difficult, but then even things like someone's expression not really changing as you give an answer, you know, not getting that kind of eye contact where you really feel like something you've said has landed and they're like, yes, absolutely. Because he doesn't really know what you're saying. It's unsettling, I would say.
Well, when it comes to a job interview, like we think about, say, building rapport with a person, maybe establishing something that one might have in common, being able to talk through your answers, like tell me about a time that you had to work in a team or in an unfamiliar situation or had to resolve conflict, etc. How did you determine how to do well in this interview with the AI? Because you can't quite have the chats, or can you?
No, I mean, I assume it's been given quite, you know, probably quite a complex structure that is working with lots of prompts, but it's kind of filtering. You're trying to beat the algorithm is how I felt. You know, you want to be giving this answer that's got the right kind of jargon, the right kind of words, because it's just cross-referencing the data that's been input by whoever the recruiter is. You know, you can't make him laugh. He's not going to get kind of specific context or gist. And so I could really also see during that process why it would be very tempting to try and cheat and to get, for example, ChatGPT to kind of give you a really good answer based off your CV and just read that out. Because I felt constantly like I was going to get it wrong, you know, like I wasn't going to get these, you know, unbeknownst to me, words on a checklist that might make Carl think, oh, yes, she knows she can go through to the next round.
Was this an experiment, by the way, or is this a company that is actually providing this service to HR departments in the UK or beyond?
Yeah, this is a real company called Test Gorilla, and they invited me to try it. They've already got, they said, nearly 800 organisations have signed up to one of its plans that includes this specifically conversational AI interview tool. So this is already happening. It's already been rolled out. We're only going to see more of it. And that's kind of why I wanted to try it, because I think especially young people going up for a job now, there's every chance they will get through an entire interview process. And until right at the very end, they won't have interacted with a single human being. at whatever company they've applied to, which is kind of really scary, or is from my perspective.
Well, I had to smile. Well, I smiled many times during the piece, Helen, but one of them was where you said, I can tell his heart's not really in it. After all, he doesn't have a heart.
Exactly. How can you win him over?
That's it. That's it. Now, if we look, though, more broadly at the world of AI and its role in recruitment, many, many, many companies are now using AI for screening in the first instance, which is rather than a human set of eyes looking at a CV, an AI is doing it. And one was guessing, because I don't know how the algorithm would be built, but one is guessing that the AI is looking for certain terms, or is it making a more nuanced review of the CV? Like, if somebody today is starting off in the workforce and let's say that they don't have a lot of work experience or they're trying to make themselves stand out, do they now have to like search what is the most searched or looked for terms from an AI algorithm as opposed to, well, what skills are in most demand in the workplace today?
Yeah, I think so. And that is already happening, which is the real problem in recruitment, because what's been created is what I see as a sort of AI arms race. You know, everyone is trying to get step ahead, recruiters on one side and candidates on the other. And so candidates are naturally thinking, oh my gosh, well, if AI is going to be screening me, I should use AI to do the application, because A, it's going to be faster and I can apply to more jobs more quickly. And B, AI is going to know how to beat AI. Now, be fine if not every single other competitor you're up against were doing the same thing. So we've got this situation where, you know, it's not recruiters' fault necessarily, because they are, you know, drowning under a deluge of applications. But then how on earth do you differentiate when every application is getting more and more similar because it's all written by AI? How do you pull one out?
Well, you know, what used to be a thing that recruiters always looked for was as perfect or as least close to perfect punctuation and grammar. Whereas actually now, if one makes a mistake in that, it shows that it's at least human-like unless you tell the AI to do it. It's as if we've come full circle on what good looks like.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen probably is some company will come in and rebrand and say, oh, we're doing, you know, human recruitment with the human touch. And they'll suddenly go, we only get human recruiters and we only accept applications that have been written by people, and we've got advanced software to make sure that happens, because it can't go on like it is at the moment, because all that it means is that no one's having a good time of it, essentially. Job hunters aren't, and the people hiring aren't either. So it's kind of, you know, locked.
Well, let's look at what, when you say the way it's going at the moment, let's look at what that is. You had quoted this from the AI in Hiring report. Job applications have surged by 239% since ChatGPT's launch, with the average job opening now receiving 242 applications. That's nearly triple 2017 levels. And that's according to recruiting software companies Greenhouse's 2025 AI in Hiring report. So for those companies that are either using an AI screener and then humanly interviewing people, or else doing a human review in the whole process, is this exhausting them?
Yes, I would definitely say yes. I mean, there's been some stats about how recruiters feel so much more burnt out than they did, you know, 5 years ago, because their whole job has changed. Because even if you want to kind of keep it a human approach, how on earth do you go through? I mean, often you're sort of trying to look at CVs on top of your regular job. I've certainly been in that position before, and you don't have time as it is. And if you're suddenly getting hundreds to look through, it's really difficult. It's really difficult. And I don't sort of blame anyone for trying to take a shortcut or use a screening tool to help. But the difficulty is, as we all know, humans are really complex, and often the best candidate for the job, they're not necessarily the person who on paper is perfect, that the person who comes in and wows you, because you have the potential to be wowed, you know.
And when you say about how people can feel when it comes to getting this deluge of applications, the reality is that is making an impact as well. Just to give you another figure that you had mentioned in your own piece, the number of applications making it to hire stage has subsequently dropped by 75%. I'm sure, Helen, you know people the same way I do, who go through the soulless, torturous process of dealing with rejection after rejection after rejection, if they get an acknowledgement at all of a job application when they're looking. And it's an emotional process that can be very, very hard to take. So is it the fact that this process now, where people are using AI to customize cover letters and, you know, dramatically increase their productivity, it's actually leading to it being harder for everybody in the long run?
Yeah, I would 100% say yes, because it's always been difficult to apply for jobs and not get jobs. But I think it's so soul destroying at the moment to, you know, people are doing mass applications because they feel like they have to and they're desperate. But equally, I mean, I would definitely have this feeling of if a human has never looked at my CV or my cover letter or my application and I never get an interview, I just don't trust the screening tools necessarily, you know, but you feel really, really out of control as the person trying to get a job because you have no idea what their criteria is.
Well, Helen, since you've shared it first with us in your AI journey, being interviewed by an AI for the first time, I want to share one with you. And that is, this week I built my first superhuman agentic AI. And I went through the process of talking to it about a problem that I was having from a productivity perspective that I typically would tell a staff member, and then we would write a policy and then they would go and implement it and take it from there. And now the super agent is doing it instead.
Oh.
Yes, right. And the reason I'm bringing this up is you brought up the word trust. Now, if you had said that I would be doing this time last year, I'd say I don't trust an AI to go in and act like a staff member within our own company from the perspective of delivering real productivity. And I would have held back from agentic AI, whereas now I'm gone over the fence in that regard. As you look at developments in AI in general, do you see us creating more and more trust in AI? Whether it might be to write our CV, write our cover letter, in fact, interview people to come into our companies. Is that where you see us going as a race?
I think in the short term, that is what's going to happen because it's kind of already happening. And, you know, people have made the good point that you can at least with AI. AI does have bias because it's often based on us, but you can go in and systematically kind of try and amend for that bias and say, no, don't do that. And that happens across the board with your AI, rather than if you've got a kind of biased recruiting team, which is, you know, much more difficult to go in and train those people and actually have those difficult conversations, because humans are not perfect either. So there is an argument to say that AI in the long run could be more fair when recruiting. But I do think there will be at some point a kind of pendulum swing the other way, because, you know, as we know, workplaces aren't just, we're not robots. We're not going in soullessly getting the job done. They're this complex culture of different personalities. And that is part of hiring, is figuring out whether that kind of person will come in and add or take away from that culture that you've created. I don't think it can just be done on data and stats.
Well, the big question that I want to finish on today is, would you, Helen, hire Carl to do that job for you if you were running a business?
No.
Well, you know what? Carl isn't going to be all that disappointed because, as you told us, he doesn't have a heart. So
exactly.
we could break that news to him gently. Helen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much indeed for joining me. Helen Coffey, Senior Features Writer of The Independent.
Thanks so much.